Moyav Rabbi Say, lessons from the lay, Parshas Vayera, a great pleasure to be able to teach, even though I am just back from an amazing trip on the JWRP and about to leave in just a few hours. I have this small window to teach you wonderful students of Yeshiva Lev HaTorah. I think a message of all messages. I try to take out one of the greatest things I learned on the trip that I was on, 220 unaffiliated 40, 50-year-old men, who most of them, first times ever in the land of Israel. Really an amazing trip. And one message, the great Charlie Harari, his great, great passionate messages. So here's just one of them, which really resonated with me. And I'll take it based on a piece. This part is all my own, but it's on my own, actually. It's the great Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik comments on the following thing, which I never noticed and never even thought of. The pasuk says, Vayera Elav Hashem Beloha Mamrevuhu Yoshev Pesach Ha'oel Kechom Hayom. We are told, the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us, Avram Avinu had the bris milah, and he is in a lot of pain. It's the third day. Rav Chama ben Chanina says the third day is the day that it is the most severe, the most powerful as far as hurting, and Hashem bechvoidu va'atzmo represents, brings representatives to visit the sick. Says Rav Soloveitchik, why doesn't it say Vayera elav Hashem Vayomer? Came on, whatever, Vayomer, and he said the following to him. As we see in many psukim, both earlier, later on, Vayomer Elav, Vayera Hashem Avram, Vayomer Elav, right? In many different things. Just the last week's parsha, in the battle of the kings, it says, Hayah Hadavar Hashem El Avraham B'machzor Lemor, to say. Avram, says Rav Soloveitchik, needed no Vayomer, no message, no command, no promise. Hashem simply came to see him. Two individuals are close friends, says Rav Soloveitchik, sharing the sense of intimacy and companionship. You don't need to say anything sometimes. One need not have a message to deliver in order to walk into a person's home. Right? If he's not your friend, then he comes to you and you're like, what do you want? What do you want? What are you doing here? If it's your friend, you're like, hey, what's up? You just came to visit. What's going on, man? What's up? And you're like, nothing. You just want to be there. I think we related this, I have a bad memory, maybe last week even, of the phone call that you make when you're in trouble, when you just need somebody, and you pour your heart out to the person on the other line, and you're not waiting for the person to, you know, there might be a few on the other line, but you're not waiting at the end to go, okay, now you speak, what do you have to say? I'm just there for you. Some of the greatest comforting moments that people have, whether it's at a shiva house or somebody who's sick in the hospital, is the person just came. It's not what they said necessarily. It's the fact that they came, not what they said. The highest form of friendship, says Rav Soloveitchik, does not require words. Because the relationship that Hashem had with Avram until this point was a formal one. It was a master and a servant. Every Vayera was followed by a Vayomer. But now that Avram Avinu did the absolute bond, the bris, that is the covenant that was established, there's a new sense of intimacy, a new friendship that can be expressed without words. We have a problem. Our problem is that we think of tefillah as something extremely formal. We think of tefillah as this formality that we do three times a day, and many of us, right, and especially the people on the trip that I just helped run, don't daven simply because they can't, because they know that God hates them. They come to shul two times a year, three times a year maybe, and there they're like, listen, I'm sorry, I'm horrible, I'm bad, I did all these things. You know, slach lano, machal lano, I'm just going to hit myself a lot of times because I think that has something to do with if I hurt myself enough, you know, which of course has nothing to do with that. And we have this formal relationship with God because God hates us really. Sometimes He gives us a little nachas because He feels bad for us. That's not tefillah. And in fact, the word prayer is not what we think it is. If I were to say to you, without without speaking. Show me the hand movement that's the ultimate sign for prayer. What is it? Interesting. This? Really? What does this mean? What does that mean?
Begging.
Begging, right. Or this, what Christians do. Right? They kneel on their bed. Now me lay me down to sleep. You know? The begging sign. Prayer means to beg. What are you begging God for? I don't deserve... What do you beg somebody for? I don't deserve this. Have mercy on me and do this for me. That's not tefillah. Tefillah is not about us begging God for something. In fact, the word for tefillah is called lehit palel. By David Aaron has made this point. I think it's a great point. Lehit palel is the reflexive. Lehit palel, I'm doing something to myself. He uses another kiva, but maybe the idea is, what am I doing to myself? I'm actually focusing on what tefillah is. You know what tefillah is? It's a relationship of a father and a son. This point, Rav Soloveitchik says, right, I'm expounding on the point, but it's when everything changed. The former relationship is over, now it's your dad. Your dad, he's always there for you, right? Many of us have, you know, all of us have unique relationships. Some have amazing relationships with that, and some have a formal relationship. I don't know if you, you know, maybe you grew up, like many, where your mom had the following words for you. If your dad comes home and he sees this, oh boy. Right? And then sometimes you're scared of your dad, and then one time you spend some time alone with him, you go to the baseball game or whatever it might be, and you're like, it's pretty cool, my dad. Hashem is asking you to have a relationship of Avinu, my father. Rosh Hashanah is a very formal day, all about Malchus, but that central tefillah is Avinu Malkeinu. Wait a minute. You're my father first, then you're my king. All that powerful stuff and thunder and lightning, Avinu though. Your dad's not going to let you down. You guys get arrested, and one of you in this room will, and you get arrested, and you go to jail, and you pick up the phone and call your dad. He's not going to be like, you know what? You need to learn a lesson. I'll see you in 2 days. Like, dad, so yeah, here's what happens in jail. There's this guy, Bubba, you know, like, he's gonna let you out, right? Why? Avinu! That's not the way he's going to teach you a lesson. He's your dad. Words you normally will not hear from my mouth. Rav Karlbach has a sefer on this parsha, and a sefer, which I happened to find on the desk I was teaching in. Rabbi Johnny Friedman's belonged to him. And the reason why I read it is because I'm going to relate one of his songs in a moment, so I thought it was appropriate. And he asked the question, maybe his question is better than his answer, but the question is, who invented tefillah? Who was the inventor of all tefillahs? You may answer at this point. Who invented tefillah? Tefillah. The first person to ever daven. Abram. We see that Abram was the first person to ever daven. And what tefillah did Abram Avinu invent, if you will? This week's parsha, who does he daven for? Stone. Ask for Shlomo. He says, why Shachris? Christianity goes by the morning. We go by the night. Why didn't Abram Avinu invent Ma'ariv? Good question. Yitzchak Mincha, Yaakov's Ma'ariv. So he talks about the sun rising is that moment where you don't care what the other person thinks. You love, you want to show your love, and that love is an unbridled, unbounding, I don't care what the other person thinks. I need to do it right now. Maybe there are other reasons. The night is din. But his point was, this shows the ultimate form of love of God when we just burst out our tefillos. Obviously the best moment that we're supposed to, when sun rises, when the darkness turns into light, because you know the day will be bright with your relationship with Hashem. Because why? Avinu. And isn't it interesting that one of the great, many, many beautiful moments, but last night as we were concluding, we said the great song of Od Avinu Chai. We watched the beautiful Nefesh B'Nefesh video, which has all of the nation of Israel saying the Declaration of Independence, and they're saying, Od Avinu Chai, Am Yisrael Chai. And I believe, if the history is correct, that tune that we know, really the song itself, was created by Rav Shlomo Carlebach at the request of the Russian Jewry, let them have a mantra to live by. I lived in a generation where Russian Jews were behind the Iron Curtain. And it wasn't until the late 80s when Mikhail Gorbachev, that I remember that New York Times, I think it was during our winter break, and the New York Times published that the Iron Curtain is going to be lifted. What did they sing? Od Avinu Chai, Am Yisrael Chai. It was said again, Golda Meir, 1948. Chanted to the people of Russia, Am Yisrael Chai. Bergen-Belsen, after the war, the famous video of Hatikva, you can see it, it's online, and they ended the Hatikva with Am Yisrael Chai. But what does it mean, Od Avinu Chai? Because he's our father. He's our father. Od Avinu, my father Chai. I believe it in my heart. He's my dad. Tell you a story. One of the most powerful moments on the trip that I was on is the moment when we go up to Sfat. You guys will have the great ability going up with the great Rav Mo. And I'm pretty sure you do this. It was in previous years this was done. You go into the Sfat Mikvah, Breslov Mikvah over there, beautiful, gorgeous Mikvah, wonderful people there explaining what is Taras HaMashpacha. And all these men, you can imagine, 220 men, they, for the first time ever, almost, learn about, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, they learn what it is to have Kedusha, and they get to see the Mikvah. And then Charlie does the craziest thing. He goes, okay, they got their Mitzvah, and we talk about Mayim, now let's do ours. Let's go into the Helika Arizal Mikvah. And 220 men say, honestly, did you just see the women's makeup? It's gorgeous. It's like a spa. Yeah, I don't care. I'll go in. And they walk down all those steps. Anybody's ever been to the Arizal Mikvah? And it's in a cave. And it's 30 below zero. And it smells. And they're like, what? But they all go in because they're men. And then, you know, when a man makes a decision. Besides, it tells that Arizal said, I'll protect anybody who ever goes into my mikvah. He talks about the baggage that you have. And when you go into that mikvah and it's going to be cold, think of one thing that you want to just get rid of. This man comes out and this man says, this is amazing, the one thing that I wanted, that I took off, is the baggage of my relationship with my son. It's non-existent. It's so non-existent that my son is actually here on a birthright trip in Israel. I have no idea where he is. We have no relationship. And all these years, I've been blaming my son because he's chutzvedek. He's that kid that just is not respectful, and I can't have a relationship with him because then I have to talk to his dad. And I realized as I went into that mikvah, it's me. I'm too tough on him. We don't live in the 1960s anymore. Ah, what I would do, he said, to see my son now. He's somewhere in Israel anyway. Yeah. So, as Hashem would have it, the birthright trip was scheduled to go up north to another location. The weather was bad. And they rerouted the trip to a city in Israel called Sfat. And it was there that they did some shopping, and he was doing shopping, and he turns around and literally bumps into his son. And there's this great picture that was taken of him crying and telling his son, I'm sorry. I wasn't a good father. And the son saying, no, Dad, I wasn't a good... Why do we have to think that God hates us? The reason why we don't take tefillah seriously is because of that. He's not Avinu Malkeinu. He's Malkeinu. Whoa, what he could do to me. And then we fake it, Rosh Hashanah time and Yom Kippur time, and we hit ourselves and we think that. No. The reason why tefillah is not serious is because when there's not tefillah time, we don't talk to God. We don't talk to Avinu Malkeinu. How many times before a test, right before a job interview, do you just a little bit, God, I need your help here. That's your dad. You always talk to your dad. So some would answer and say, Rav Hartzon, you don't know my dad. He's tough. I don't want to look at God like that. So it might be true. This Charlie told me privately, but I'll say it. I hope it's okay. Maybe that's the difference between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. Because the Sfardim, think of the Sfardim's tefillah, I'm sorry guys, but their tefillah is much more unique, genuine. They have much more kavana. And I think it's because they look at Hashem actually as their mother. You know why? Because your mom, no matter what, she's always with you. You could screw up big time, she's always going to give you that kiss, but it's alright, don't tell dad, it's okay. Maybe that's the ultimate relationship. The mom, and we're formal, and we look at it as a dad relationship, and we don't have a good relationship with our dad, so then to feel that. But ultimately, you know your father does love you. And unfortunately, it's something that we have to do in our lives. And if we want to improve our lives, tefillah is the main focus. Hashem established a relationship with Avram where he did the ultimate sacrifice of a bris milah. And he said, okay, the relationship is different now. Now I'm your dad. I'm just coming to be with you. I'm just sitting with you. Imagine if you had a comfort that you can talk to God at any time and you felt comfortable that someone was listening. It's not always the answer that you want, and things aren't going to always go your way. But you know it's for a reason, and that's the test of Avraham Avinu, those 10 tests. You want me to kill my son? Are you kidding me? This is it. This is my only... Avraham says, nah, it's got to be something. I don't know what it is, but something's there. That's the focal point. Avinu Malkin. Avinu Malkin. Look at God as a dad, someone you could talk to. So many stories I could tell you about this week. So many people who came up to me and talked to me how literally just, I'm talking about 7 days, changed their life. And for me personally, to be able to go down to the Kotel with a group of 220 people, most have never been to the Kotel in their lives. We don't talk at all. And we make the walk. And as you're walking, you see the people going like this. It's a wall, guys. How many times have we gone down to the Kotel? Hundreds of times. Most of us never feel anything. And the emotion is filled and you feel it. It's palatable. And they all just go to the wall. And Charlie said, all I ask is you go to them, touch the wall and just say, hey, Dad. Just talk. As everybody did it, I figured I would, you know, I would try. Well, half deal, but it's, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in a show like a hypnotist, and you know that you can't be hypnotized, and you're just like, all right, you know, like I'm not gonna be hypnotized. And of course, you know, you're the first guy to go. So I was the first guy. I went up there, and I was done. I was crying. The neshama was pouring out to Hashem. It was a whole row. And I know this is the wrong thing. I'm not the guy who reads the notes in the Kotel, but it was the guy next to me. And I heard him talk. I just heard him talk. And he was talking in the most pure tefillahs. Dad, just listen to me. I just want to be better. I just want to be someone you're proud of. And it was so genuine. It was so beautiful. And I felt bad about myself. I said, I'm Orthodox, I'm religious, I daven 3 times a day. If I miss a tefillah, if I miss a minyan, my family knows it's a bad situation, I'm not happy. And he's talking the way we should talk. Dad, I want to make you proud. Here's what I'm going to try to do. Here's what I'm going to do. That's the relationship. When you guys saw the tefillah of 220 men, I hope you were jealous of them. For the first time in their lives, they were the center of all attention. And they realized that God doesn't hate me. His affiliations don't mean anything. Because he's my father. And you probably looked at them and said, wow, that's powerful. Wow. What did they do that you can't do? These guys are 50 years old. They've never davened Kabbalah Shabbos in their lives. You daven every week. Avinu Malkeinu. We should be zeichet to take the message that Hashem teaches us with the great Avraham Avinu, the founder of our religion, the founder of tefillah, the founder of shacharis, Lihitpalel. Let it do something to us. Let tefillah have an effect on us because we talk to our Father every day. Add something in Shema Kolenu. Don't forget about tefillah for a moment. Forget about, I'm not saying you shouldn't daven three times a day. Talk to God. We talk to God through saying brachos on Hashem Yosai. Yes, that's the formal part. But talk to Him when you need something to show that relationship that we have with Him.